You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us no matter where you are. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before we get to our next guest, we do have breaking news as we come on the air. Republican concedes long unsettled North Carolina Supreme Court election to the Democratic incumbent. This has been going on for months. A Republican challenger for the North Carolina Supreme Court has finally conceded last November's election to Democratic incumbent Allison Riggs. Jefferson Griffin finally says he will go along with the will of the people. Essentially, they were trying to toss out over 65,000 votes, a number of them from military members overseas.
Yep.
And these were all, again, little procedural things. Anyway, this is a good thing.
It's good that he went along with the will of the people that spoke, you know, 7 months ago.
7 months ago. But anyway, after months and months and months, he has finally conceded to Allison Riggs, who will now keep her place on the North Carolina Supreme Court. Our guest right now, he joins us on the first Wednesday of the month to give us a little update about all things farm. Darren Von Ruden is here, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. You're on the road. You're in our nation's capital, Darren. How's it going out there?
Yes, I am, Jane. Thanks. Steady but slow. Would be nice to get more action in a more timely manner than we are, you know, especially looking at the farm bill. That's the number one reason why we're out here is let's get that passed. We're already just about 2 years now behind schedule. So looking at that, but we're being told in many offices that until the budget process gets cleared up, nothing else is going to get to the floor of either the House or the Senate. And at this point, there's so much difference between the House version and the Senate version that it could take months just to get that process figured out.
For people who don't understand what that means for Wisconsin's farmers, Darren, maybe you can explain a little bit why we need some action on this farm bill that's been languishing, as you said, for almost 2 years now.
Yeah, it's really the uncertainty of what tomorrow brings because, you know, farmers... in a time of crisis, if we have droughts or natural disasters, floods, tornadoes, in southern U.S., the hurricanes impact farmers. There's disaster programs that are really up in the air right now and trying to, you know, plan your year. You can't go to the bank and tell them that you can pretty much look at we're going to get this many dollars for the produce that we have because the market is unstable. And part of that is because there isn't that assurance from the federal government that natural disasters will be covered or protected in the areas that it's needed to be.
Well, and also on top of that, of what we've seen from the current administration is that you also have contracts with the government and they're saying, yeah, we're not going to give you the rest of the money or any of the money. So farmers are investing in equipment and feed and help. And they're like, well, sorry.
Yeah, that's one of the big issues that Wisconsin has kind of led the rest of the National Farmers Union on is the LFA program, local food purchase program that has done a lot for farmers around the state of Wisconsin, but also consumers putting more of the local food right in their place instead of having to depend on something that comes from California or Florida. They're getting that local produce right there. And 289 farmers have been a part of the program over the last 2 years. We've moved just about $4.23 million worth of local produce to those local citizens through their food pantries. Tribal Outboxes, some school programming just got started last year to get dairy and beef protein into the schools that, you know, right next door versus having to bring something from another state in some instances. So, you know, it's a program that really is bringing that local connection between the farmer and the consumer back in place, and that program has been cut. They're not going to be putting any money through the USDA at this point back to that program. And we've got members out here that have $30,000, $40,000 of investment in their infrastructure on the farm that they were hoping could be used this year for the FPA program, and now they're stuck hanging not only that investment in the infrastructure, but the product that they were produced don't have a market anymore. So it's really a double whammy in most cases.
So a lot of those funds have not been unfrozen. And again, we're talking about some of the money that was invested, if I understand this correctly, came under a Biden administration program, and then that was frozen under the Trump administration. Again, we're talking about maybe investments in solar, maybe investments in manure, how you're handling manure and things like that. That money has already been invested, and the farmers are waiting now for the federal government to come in and do their part, which is what they agreed to. But that money still is on hold.
Some of it has been released now. And it seems like there's quite a bit of cherry picking going on from what I can figure out across the country. So, you know, the members of the Republican Party that have, you know, dollars in their district, some of them are now being covered. For instance, one of the people I was talking about in our earlier calls was had $70,000 for a solar installation that was supposed to be coming. He's since gotten that, and some of that maybe because Representative Van Orden made a call to the White House and got some of those dollars released, whereas we're seeing in other districts that are held by Democrats, they're still struggling trying to get those dollars for the same exact programs. So, you know, what's the difference other than who's the elected official to represent them, in my opinion?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like government aid should be based on favors. That seems like a bad way to run the government. And it's interesting that you say that some farmers have gotten relief where others have not. Mm-hmm. Will Westmoreland has been a guest on our show, and he went viral on TikTok a couple of months ago, and he's been a guest on the show. He was responding to a young farmer who was in the same situation where he had invested this money, and now he's on the hook for it, and he's waiting for the federal dollars to come in. While his social media post went viral, and guess what? He made so much noise that he got his money. And I just don't think that every single individual farmer in Wisconsin should have to make a viral video in order for them to get the government to come through with what they were promised.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that just doesn't make any sense at all. You know, this throwing the baby out with the bathwater method that they're using is not right. You need to have justification on why a contract shouldn't be upheld, which I'm really proud of the farmer members that we have, because they've been upholding their end of the deal to the point that they can, and doing what the contracts were asking of them.
Yep.
The bigger issue there is that, you know, most farmers don't have $70,000 or $80,000 or $100,000 of cash laying around that they can just spend. You know, they got to go to the banker, and the banking industry is really nervous right now too, because of the uncertainty of the markets and, you know, a trade war coming that's going to cause more uncertainty. So,
Darren, we lost your sound there, buddy.
Am I back?
Now you're back.
There you go.
Now you're back. They got to work
Maybe
on the
I'll
internet.
Shut my video off.
There you go. That's probably, yep. They got to work on the internet there in Washington, D.C. I'm not quite sure what's going on with that. You would think
they cut the funding for that.
Darren Van Ruden. Darren Van Ruden is our guest. I'm sorry, Darren. I keep doing that to you. He's the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and he is actually out in D.C. trying to meet with our lawmakers. Mm-hmm. What is the level of frustration, Darren, for your fellow farmers when you just hear all this? Yeah, well, nothing's going to get done now because we're still fighting over the budget.
You know, it's really frustrating. And, time is everything right now. It's planting season. It's time to get the crops in the ground. It's, people have figured out what they need to do in the small vegetable and produce area. They've got their boxes that they've kind of promised people, and when you don't have funding or the dollars there, it just doesn't help the mental attitude of what's going on. So, I think farmers have always been very resilient and will continue to be resilient. But the bigger question is, how many more months or years of this uncertainty can we put up with? And, there certainly is a percentage of farmers that are just throwing their hands up in the air and walking away. The good ones stick around, but, you end up with that thought process, what's going to happen next spring.
At some point, there's got to be an easier way to make a living. Mm-hmm. There's got to be something easier than this.
Yeah.
And Monday morning, we actually met with the Department of Justice National Board. Most of the National Board members were here and actually had a really good meeting. The Antitrust Division of the Department of Justice, the leadership there was really in step with what we were talking about, trying to make sure that we don't continue to see this monopoly power that's going on out there on both sides for us, on what we buy, but also what we sell. The more options you have, the more competitive the prices are, and then it costs you less for inputs, and you're able to hopefully, sell your products at a higher price that way too. And it seemed like the folks at the new people in that antitrust division are really willing to go to work to make sure that some of these practices that are going on today won't continue down the road. So it seems like a good continuation of what the Biden administration's folks at the antitrust division had started, and really taking a close look at the grocery industry is a big one. The Albertson deal out in California to Colorado up to Washington, that got stopped under the Biden administration. It sounds like there's still some issues in that part of the country, and sometimes the ripple effect affects what we're doing here in the state of Wisconsin, too.
We're going to continue our conversation with Darren Von Rudin. He is the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He is in our nation's capital. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball coming up today. The Astros at the Brewers. Our broadcast starts at 11:35. You can listen on terrestrial radio if you want to catch the crew today on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls and in Hayward on WBZH. The Brewers hosting the Astros today. Our broadcast starts at 11:35. We are talking to the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Darren Von Ruden is our guest, and he is joining us on the phone right now from Washington, D.C. We were talking, Darren, before the break a little bit about the federal budget, and farmers are waiting on that. What is going on with the state budget and Wisconsin farmers? Darren, are you there?
Darren, if you can hear me, give us a call. 855-752-4842, and we can get you back on the line here.
Waiting to be joined
by Darren Von Ruden.
One thing that I did want to talk to Darren about, and this is an article in the Washington Post. It says, why Brazil's soy farmers love Trump and his tariffs on China. Brazil accounted for more than 70% of soy exports last year to China, and Trump's trade war will allow this to allow the country to solidify its market dominance. Mm-hmm. And this has happened before. This has happened the last time Donald Trump was in office.
Yep.
We lost a big chunk of the countries to which we export because they found other suppliers for our soybeans.
Yep.
And I saw an article recently with a farmer in Iowa who had mentioned that things are tough. And there's lots of questions. He doesn't know what's going on, but he does expect that Donald Trump is going to bail out the farmers like he did last time. So he's going to be fine. Well, and he's good with that.
And and that's the problem, too, is that people will say, well, they got a check. And some farmers might be like, yeah, that's great. I'll use the check. But there are other farmers who are saying, I want to do my work.
Well, and there are other, again, that one-time check is great. But if you lose your export market forever after that, that one time is only going to go so far.
Yeah. But it can't really, it's going to be two times. It all goes back to the notion, which you were discussing before, which is if someone makes a big enough noise, they're going to get their way with this administration. So if they're going to continually screw over the farmers, then they'll say, well, we'll just cut them a huge check. Well, it was 12. How much? I think it was $12 billion last time.
It was a big chunk.
So it's probably going to be closer to $20 or $25 billion. You know, all that cutting of unnecessary spending and whatnot. But yeah, you know, it's fine. Cut them a check, I guess. That'll fix the problem. Throw money at it.
Soy farmer Wesley Rosa, 50 years old, says the United States, he's in Brazil. He says the United States is provoking this fight, but it's Brazil that will end up benefiting. China is by far the world's largest market for soy, importing more than 100 million tons a year. For years, this was great for both Brazilian and American farmers, but the first trade war between Trump and China in 2018 crushed American exports, and then Brazil stepped in.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we're going to see.
And guess what? That contributes to Brazil's overall GDP, and their economy can boom because of investments and buying and selling. It's
called shooting yourself in the foot. The U.S.'s remaining market share, this according to the Washington Post, is already evaporating. Department of Agriculture says a very small fraction of the 72,000 tons of soybeans purchased during a week's period earlier in the month, China bought only 5,400 tons of that, compared to 72,800 that's available. This is not good.
Not at all.
This is not good.
I was going to ask it before. I was going to ask it to Darren, or Darren before. My gosh, Darren Von Ruden.
We have to stop talking about Derek Van Orden and Darren Von Ruden on the same
day. I completely agree. This is what a terrible thing to do. Yes. But also, just as we spoke with Corrine earlier in the show in the last hour, they get to step in and be the heroes. These are farmers. If they just, you know, farmers aren't asking for a lot. They're asking for help. They're asking for partnership, and they're asking for investment. And if they did that thing, they can go back to their district. You know, say if you sit on the ag committee, and you say to your district, let's say the third district.
Just as an example.
I'm helping to save the farming here, especially in my district, but in all of Wisconsin and all of the country, because we need to make massive investments in our farmers to keep them around, to keep them flourishing, and to make sure that these are fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth generation farms, not this crap they keep on pulling, which is saying to them, well, they'll take it, they'll deal with it, and, you know, where are they going to go? They're farmers. They can't export the job.
Well, right, but exports, that's going to be an issue.
Yeah.
And again, Brazil already happily stepped in the last time we went through this and took a whole bunch of the soybean market, and this is just paving the way for them to do the same thing all over again. Our thanks to Darren Von Ruden, the president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, for joining us to talk about their efforts in Washington. We'll have a little update with him next month and see how those face-to-face meetings went.
Yes.
With the staffers, anyway. We have news coming up next, and then when we return, it's a little audio sorbet.
Ooh.
What social media accounts do you follow that make you feel better? That's coming up. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we will wrap up the show as we always do. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it's the Raccoon Gone Bad edition.
Ooh.
You ever have a thing you think should not be? Send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. And just a reminder, Fat Bird Week continues.
Oh, shoot, I got to vote.
You got to vote. We will put the link in our show notes. You can vote for Wisconsin's fattest bird. The results will be announced on Monday, and Amanda's going to be back.
Emma's
going to be back with an update on Monday around 10:20. In the early matchups, it was the Dark Eyed Junco and the Trunco versus the Necklace Northern Cardinal. Dark Eyed Junco and the Trunco, big winner.
Yeah.
Then it was the Enormous Eastern Bluebird feathering off against the Spherical White-Throated Sparrow. The Sparrow took the top spot. Round Yellow Rumped Warbler over the well-fed yellow warbler, and then the rotund ruby-throated hummingbird versus the pudgy fine pine warbler. The ruby-throated hummingbird was the winner.
So I
it's,
think
it's brackets. It's all, we're doing brackets.
I just feel like Darko Junco and the Trunco is up today for a vote, and I feel like that name alone is going to win him.
You think that's going to put him over the top?
Yeah, that's going to bring the hardware home, with this, as the kids say.
So make sure you vote in Wisconsin's Fat Bird Week, which goes up until May 9th, and then we will have the winner announced coming up on Monday. This is the portion of the show that we like to call Audio Sorbet, where we take a little break and take a little breath and do a little break away from the news.
Yeah, you know, cue the harps. There they are.
That's it. Here is the question.
Very small harps.
And he's got a gig.
Yeah.
What social media accounts do you follow that make you happy?
Yeah.
There's so much bad and there's so much news, but there's still lots of little light spots out there.
Absolutely. And I would qualify this as also not joy you feel from rage accounts either. Like, you know, you follow someone.
It's not from hate watching.
No, it's not hate watching. This is like you watch it and you melt into it.
Or it just makes you laugh.
Exactly. And exactly.
Even if it's only 60 seconds long. However, what are your favorite social media accounts that make you feel better? We want to compile a list.
Yeah.
So that we can include this in the show notes. And then when you're having a really bad day, mm-hmm. you can go and look and grab one of these social media accounts and just, it's like another audio sorbet. It's a
mobile audio sorbet. It's a travel size.
I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. What are some of the social media accounts that you follow that make you laugh and make you feel better?
Yeah.
Now, my favorite one, and Greg knows this because I make him watch it with me every Friday.
You don't make me watch it.
It's called We Rate Dogs. It's so good.
Every Friday.
Every Friday, he comes out. It's usually a little before 9 o'clock.
Yeah, when we were on at 10 o'clock, he would put it on like usually like 9:45, and we could watch it right before the show.
Yeah, right before the show.
But yeah, every Friday, it's the top five dogs of the week. And
these are all submitted to this guy. Mm-hmm. And they do rate dogs.
Yeah.
It's on a scale of 1 to 10. But every dog video that they get or every photo of the dog that they get, mm-hmm. they either get 12 or 13 points.
Yeah, they're always overachievers in the points area. And I love that they always have a runner up.
Yes.
Which is just as cute and wonderful as the top five.
But sometimes they highlight rescue dogs or just people's dogs who elderly man falls down.
Yep.
Walking his dog. Dog goes and finds people and then brings him back to his owner and they rescue the man.
There was one we watched where the dog found a kid. Like it was. And the kid had wandered off and gotten lost in the forest. And this is some Lassie stuff we're talking about.
It seriously is.
It is. We rate dogs. Go find them. Go find them on YouTube. Populate their social media accounts. They are for the good of the world.
And they do a lot of fundraising.
Yes.
If they sell merch. And so if you support by buying their merch, they use that money to help fund surgeries for pets.
Yes, they do. Yes,
they've done so much good. So again, it's called We Rate Dogs, all one word. We Rate Dogs. I found them on Twitter, but they do have a whole dedicated YouTube channel.
Yeah,
they have a
longer program that they'll do. I mean, granted, I could talk about dogs forever, but like that would be very, very. I give respect to that to have a concentrated television show or YouTube show where you're talking about the wonder of dogs.
What is your favorite? What are your favorite social media accounts that you follow just because they make you feel better or they make you laugh? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Terry listening on WAUK, Layla the Boxer on Facebook.
Layla the Boxer.
We'll write that down.
Look that one up, yeah.
Layla the Boxer on Facebook. Jack from Merrimack, also listening on WAUK. When I'm on Facebook, I look for two types of posts. One is the Far Side series and the other is Peanuts.
There you go.
Liz from Saukville, Ellen DeGeneres on Facebook, where she replays old episodes.
There you go, yeah. A local legend, we've had him on the show before. I would always follow Judge Derek Mosley. He posts great pictures of food and him marrying couples and educational stuff too during Black History Month.
Absolutely.
You'll get some history in there too, but it's always uplifting posts of really great content.
855-752-4842. What social media accounts do you follow that make you feel better? Calvin, do you have one?
Yeah, I didn't think I did, but then I remembered one. There's this kid on TikTok, his name's Miles Music Kid. He's like 8 years old. His parents run his account, but he's an incredible music producer.
Oh, I know this kid,
He makes beats and songs, and it's like, holy crap, this kid's only 8 years old.
His name is what?
Miles Music Kid, and it's just crazy. Like, he's like on the computer making these songs, and then he's drinking out of a sippy cup. It's just like this, it's so fun.
And he'll also tell you exactly what he's doing. He's like, I'm gonna get this beat. I'm gonna put a little noise gate on here. All right, let's put some delay on there.
Man.
And like step by step on how he creates music. And he makes songs like Bob Ross does paintings, like in the moment on the video. And then they play the song, you're like, oh, you're way more talented than I've ever been in my entire life.
For 8 years old.
Yes, he's a tiny child baby.
What social media accounts do you follow that make you happy, that make you feel better, that make you laugh? 855-752-4842. Ollie from the Northwoods joining us on the phone. Good morning, Ollie. What are you following on social media?
I actually don't do social media because I'm too old to learn that.
That's not true. You're never too old, lady.
Wrong.
You're never too old.
Wrong.
But anyway.
Well, I borrowed my grandson's Android phone, and I found the YouTube app, and I absolutely love the happy song. That it seems like it's an Asian thing where the kids and the people dance. I'm 73 years old and handicapped, and I can sit in my chair and do the happy dance. And
it's love it.
My day.
That's awesome,
love
Ollie.
That.
That's
love
great.
That.
The happy dance. Love it. Thank you, Ollie, and thank you so much for listening. What is your happy place? What accounts do you follow on social media that you go to feel better, to have a laugh, just mm-hmm. to take a break? 855-752-4842. I follow Randy Rainbow.
Oh, Randy Rainbow is great.
He's very political.
Very.
So if you want to get away from politics, that's probably not the place to go.
But if you want entertainment with your politics.
Randy Rainbow is fantastic. Yeah,
exactly.
He takes a lot of classic Hollywood Broadway songs
mm-hmm.
and famous movie songs and turns them into political parodies. He's very, very clever.
Terry from WAUK. I hope, Ollie, are you listening right now? This is Terry from listening to WAUK says, my 88-year-old mom is on Facebook. Ollie, you are not too old.
You can be on social media,
yeah.
Ollie. Absolutely. We are looking for your favorite happy place on the web. What do you follow when you want to feel better? PJ on the live stream says, all about gardening, Facebook.
That's, you know, honestly, that's, those are relaxing ones. I follow, like, people who do, like, major landscaping work, especially for, like, invalid and, like, shut-in people. They'll go to there and be like, hey, I noticed your lawn is overgrown and they're in violation of city ordinances.
Some codes.
So they'll go up, knock on the door, and they actually have to do some convincing. Because, of course, nothing is free in this world and everyone's suspect.
Everybody's suspicious, I'm sure.
But they'll be like, yeah, I'm just going to – and granted – they're filming it. They're going to make money off of it because millions of people watch these very simple videos. But it's also a guy just saying, hey, I just want to cut your lawn because I like doing it. Would you let me do it? And he does it. And watching him work relaxes me because, A, good spirit, good heart.
Yep.
And B, it's like, oh, it's overgrown and messy. And then it looks nice and clean.
There's another guy that I stumble, and I don't watch TikTok maybe enough.
Yeah.
But there's a guy on TikTok who has his own home improvement business.
Yeah.
But he'll go around and do things for people for free.
Yeah.
He'll put in a patio for them. He'll put mm-hmm. up a fence for them.
Yeah.
He'll do, and he and his wife do it. He's retired. The
yeah.
guy's only like in his 40s.
I think I know who you're talking about too.
And he just does it because he loves it.
Yeah.
And he tells you how to put it together and he takes you through the whole process. And again, it's just a good, warm, fuzzy feeling when you see people doing things for other folks.
It makes you feel like also you're like, I could build my own patio. And then you think to yourself, no, I couldn't.
What is your social media account that you follow just for a laugh, just because it makes you feel better, because it gives you a break? And on the live stream says Jimmy Kimmel.
That's
again,
good stuff.
Very more political.
You've gotten more political over the years.
Leaning more on the political side.
Yeah. I'm trying to find this account. There's a gentleman from Japan. He's a guitar player and he plays hard rock and heavy metal, but he just basically plays in front of a camera, usually wearing a sweatsuit, and makes the silliest faces while playing the heaviest music. He doesn't take himself seriously, but he's incredibly talented, and I'll watch him, and it makes me smile because there's something about one breaking down, like, you know, metal music. Sure, it's not. And
so he
just
doesn't have the heavy metal face.
He's not making guitar faces.
He's not grimacing.
He'll make like sarcastic cool faces, or he'll play a big note and it just thumbs up the camera, or put his hand through his hair. It's like, this is what I'm built for. I love this so much.
Andrew from Maine texting in, listening on WAUK. Some of my non-political favorites on Facebook: The Good News Girl, Shauna the Mom, and Drew Talbert at Bistro Huddy.
You think you know everything about social media and you think you know all the accounts, and people are like,
did you hear this one?
No, never. And they're like, oh, they have 25 million followers. Cool deal.
That's awesome. Well, whatever is your fix, I hope you're able to check it out and get a laugh and take a break.
Yeah.
And enjoy yourself, even if it's just for a moment.
Yes, yes, because you deserve it, and you are worthy of that. You don't have to take on all the stuff.
What was the one you showed me this morning, Rip, before, with all the puppies?
Angry puppies.
Angry
puppies. It was the top 10 angry puppies. And they're not even like, they are like the puppiest of puppies. They are tiny, tiny puppies. And they're all
being
mad.
Very fierce.
Oh, they're mad about something. And they're like, nyerp, nyerp.
I'm feeling a theme with the things we like to watch.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of dogs there. All right, when we return, we're going to wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There's a raccoon involved. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Before the break, we were talking about websites, little people you follow on social media that make you happy.
Yeah.
And this one sounds good too. Andrew from Maine, look for UPS dogs.
Looked and followed.
Oh, it's interactions between dogs and their favorite delivery drivers, which sounds fantastic.
Agreed.
And Calvin, you had one too.
Yeah, there's this guy on TikTok called Dies in Good Vibes. He makes these like tie-dye shirts that you would not believe are even possible.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I've seen them. The work he does, like the work that goes into it. Because I remember making tie-dye when I was a little kid.
Rubber bands.
It is art.
And what's it called, Calvin?
Dies and Good Vibes.
Dies and Good Vibes. On what platform?
TikTok.
On TikTok. All right.
I'm sure he's also on Instagram, too.
I have to go back on TikTok.
You
do not have to go back on TikTok.
That's where all the cool kids are. At least that's what I hear. Coming up on the show tomorrow, we will have a very, very busy day. Jim Santel is going to join us after 9:30, as he always does, in hour number two. Brittany Merlot will be here, Civic Media meteorologist, multi-award winner.
I think Jimmy Koska referred to her as Brit 3 Merlot.
Oh, I like that. She won three awards at the Wisconsin Broadcasters.
She won five? But got first place in three of them.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So the multi-award winner Brittany Merlot joining us tomorrow morning, as well as Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. So that's all on the way tomorrow. Right now, though, 11:54, Calvin, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
And as always, if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This is from the Akron Beacon Journal. Anthony Thompson with the byline. The headline reads, Akron woman arrested on drug charges on Monday after pet raccoon was found with her meth pipe. A 55-year-old Akron woman arrested earlier this month, charged with multiple drug offenses, after a raccoon was discovered in her vehicle holding a meth pipe in its mouth. There is a photo.
Yeah, it's sad to look at.
That will include in the show notes. Officers initially did a traffic stop after identifying the vehicle. The owner had both an active warrant and a suspended driver's license. After pulling her over, police found the raccoon, nicknamed Chewy, sitting in the driver's seat with a meth pipe in its mouth. After further inspection, they found a bulk amount of meth, crack, and three used pipes. The woman was charged with drug possession, drug paraphernalia possession, and for driving under suspension. How about having a raccoon in your car? Shouldn't that be a violation of something?
Well, yeah, because I don't think you can legally own a raccoon.
Raccoon unharmed, which is good.
Good.
Authorities were notified to determine the woman did, in fact, have the proper documentation to own the raccoon.
Ohio is a weird... Here's the thing is, Calvin brought this to us, and he read the headline first, and my immediate thought was, Florida's weird.
Oh, no.
Nope, Ohio.
Ohio. Yeah, Ohio's got its own set of stuff going on there. And apparently, look what we learned today. You can have a raccoon in Ohio, provided you have the proper paperwork.
And you don't give it meth.
Yeah, don't give it meth. While our officers said police are trained to expect the unexpected, finding a raccoon holding a meth pipe is a first.
Yay!
Yeah, let's hope that's not a...
Let's hope it's the last.
Yeah, let's hope this is the one and only time that ever happens. Again, this woman now facing multiple charges. The raccoon wasn't hurt.
No.
His final destination is unknown at this point.
I'm not a big fan of raccoons. They scare me a lot. But, you know, when you give me this story, I'm like, maybe we'll go to a good home. I'm like, oh, no, maybe it should just be in the wild or a zoo. I don't know. I don't know what you do with that.
Maybe they can just let him go.
Oh.
Hopefully. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Don't forget, we got baseball coming up as well. If you want to listen to the game, you do have to listen on terrestrial radio. Our coverage starts at 11:35 on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN Racine Kenosha, on CQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The Brewers are hosting the Astros today, coming up at 11:35. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone else at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. Really does mean the world.
Thank you.
I hope you find some joy today. And it's just a little bit. And you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. News is coming up next, followed by Todd Alba. From 2 to 4 p.m., Tom Hartman taking over from 11 to 2 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.